Henry Rain Show here at WWPR 1490 AM in the studio with Sabine Priestley, sabinepriestley.com. And reminding you again, coming up next week, April 7th, will be a pre-recorded show from the Innovation Summit. And we have a number of guests there. One of the ones that are coming up in just a moment I met there. And we're very excited to talk to him in just a moment. But that is going to be next week's show will be pre-recorded, and all the scoops from the Innovation Summit and the people there will be sharing with you. And also, the Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup, the Bradenton Blockchain and Business Development Meetup at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, corner of 12th Street West and State Road 64 East. We have that Wednesday, April 18th at 5:30, special guest Greg Karsh will be there, blockchain attorney, answering questions about blockchain startups, ICOs, things like that. And also, we're going to have a couple of surprise guests, too, we hope to have there. And let's now go to someone we met just at the Innovation Summit in the blockchain hub that was sponsored by Blockspaces. Peter Temko is a CPA, an MBA. He is the CEO of Temko Financial Consulting, and that's temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O. He personally invested in Bitcoin and various cryptocurrencies since December of 2016, so he's an old-timer. And his changed the direction of his practice when he decided to do that. So he's currently helping people with cryptocurrencies, whether they be miners, whether they just be investors. And we have him here with us today, and let's thank him for joining us. Peter, thank you for joining us on the Henry Rain Show.
Thanks for having me on, Henry.
Yeah, so let's talk just a little bit before you took your practice in the current direction. Were you already helping people? Were you a CPA to people on taxes and things like that? I see you've been a comptroller for some major companies, and you've worked in corporate America. When did you go into helping individuals?
I went into helping individuals back in 2015, and that also included taxes and consulting with business and helping with bookkeeping types of activities.
So probably what most of us think of is the kind of CPA practice that we're familiar with over the years.
Yeah, very, very typical, yes.
So things changed in December when you invested in Bitcoin. How did that come to be that you invested?
I had originally been exposed and understood about Bitcoin back in 2013. Life sort of got in the way. A lot of things came up. I had family that I was involved with taking care of, and it wasn't until 2016 that I swung back around into saying I needed to diversify my holdings a bit and wanted to find something I thought would have some long-range growth, and remembered about Bitcoin. Got back into it.
Okay. And so it's... If you were around in December, you must be pretty pleased with where it's taking you. Maybe not as pleased as you were as December of 2017, but you still got to be pretty happy with the results.
Oh, no, of course. I'm very happy, and that's one thing I always advise all my clients to do is try to remember where you got in at and where you're at now, because as much of an emotional roller coaster that I've gone through, as well as a lot of other people, with all the ups and downs over the last year even, as long as you keep that perspective of where you're at overall, then it makes it a lot easier to not get too concerned.
By the way, what was Bitcoin going for when you invested in it?
It was about $700 first got started.
Okay, so you're still at a 1,000% return then on the initial investment.
Exactly, and that's the way people really need to sort of look at the thing.
And so when did it become part of your practice? I'm pretty sure December closed out. You probably didn't have any clients that were asking you for advice on their cryptocurrency gains for 2016.
I didn't immediately, but once I started getting into the area a lot more towards the end of last year, I have had quite a few people, especially like with Coinbase, sending out their notices to individuals that had $20,000 or more of trading back in 2015 and earlier. Definitely had some people that came out and said, you know what, with everything that was going on and with getting notices like that, they wanted to get their stuff straight. So I have helped people amend some of their previous year returns.
And what are you finding with the people that are coming to you now? Have they found you through Block Spaces, or are they searching and your website comes up because you're visible there with cryptocurrency?
Yeah, it's all of the above. Definitely people with Block Spaces, definitely through web searches. I would expect most companies that have an online presence are going to make sure that they've got some good AdWords that they put out there and Google search phrases that they've got associated with their sites. And then also some of the tools that are out there that people can use themselves to try to at least estimate where their tax liability is at. Those have been helpful as well, too.
We're speaking with Peter Temko. He's CPA and CEO of Temko Financial Consulting. The website is temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O-financial.com. And his main number in Tampa is 813-906-0330, 813-906-0330. And do you still have room for new clients if they have questions and time for the close of the tax season?
Yeah, we do right now. I would expect probably within the next week that's going to probably change, just because there's a lot of potential clients that I've had that have said they're getting their stuff together, ready for me, but I haven't gotten heard back from some of them for a week or two, so I'm sure that's all coming down the pike here.
So when you have your first contact with the potential new cryptocurrency client, what do you try and convey to them first?
The first thing that's important is for them to try to make sure they go through it depends on how complicated of a situation they have, because if they've been pretty straightforward with accounts like Coinbase or Kraken or Gemini, then it's just a matter of saying, okay, make sure you collect together all your information so that we're ready to go to put this into our tools to figure out what's going on for 2017. For people that are more complicated with mining or masternodes, or they've done a lot of different exchanges and they've had a lot of different wallets, and especially if they've had any wallets that include services like Shapeshift, right, where they can actually swap coins out, then it's more of a conversation of trying to make sure they go through and remember all of the different things they might have done over 2017, because it is important to be able to reconcile everything, to have everything involved. So if somebody forgets a wallet, somebody forgets some exchange that they tried out for a month or two, that's going to leave a hole in all their records, and we could end up with negative coin balances or balances that just don't make sense to them as we get all the numbers together.
So to be clear, I think, for the people, if they bought but they haven't transacted with that afterwards, they haven't traded it for another cryptocurrency, they haven't sold it back for fiat currency, they don't have a taxable event?
Correct.
All right. And if they have exchanged the cryptocurrency for another cryptocurrency, they've created a taxable event.
Yes. And a lot of people seem to be surprised by that because some of the misinformation that tends to spread out on the Internet. The IRS put a notice out back in 2014 that pretty much lays that out, that it's any kind of transaction between cryptocurrencies, or obviously the one that everybody knows about is if you're going to sell it back into fiat, U.S. dollar, or any other kind of currency.
So, for example, if you're on Bittrex, which you can't put fiat in or fiat out, then you must, every time you've done a transaction, you've got to recognize that. How do you go back and find that? Because it's going to be probably in Bitcoin or Ethereum, and you have to find the dollar value at that moment in time, don't you?
Yes. So that's where some of the online tools are very helpful, because you can put that transaction history in. You can get that transaction history out of the exchanges, most exchanges. Some exchanges, not so much. But most exchanges, you can get a file out that's going to give the amount of each cryptocurrency and the date and time stamp that the transaction happened. By putting that into some of the tools. Sorry, go ahead.
What kind of tools are those? How do you find them, or you have them at your disposal?
The ones that I'm currently using for my clients are bitcoin.tax, cointracking.info, and cointracker.io. They all operate a little bit differently, and again, depending on how sophisticated your activities have been in cryptocurrency, some work better for different individuals. So when you go there, and that's one thing that's I have found that the IRS sort of expects with this kind of reporting is that you're consistent. So if you're using the tool year after year, and those tools are using their algorithms to determine which exchanges that they're getting the transaction amounts from, or the currency amounts from, then that's one thing that's going to help you establish that you're trying to report properly. Mm-hmm. Obviously the best thing to do is when you're doing transactions to make sure you have something that's recording exactly what the rates were when you did that. But for a lot of people, they weren't keeping track of that for last year.
Now, to use those tools, how much of your personal information do you have to give up, and to whom are you giving it to?
So for most of them, you don't have to put any personal information in. You create a username, you create a password. Obviously, you're going to be putting in transactions, and if you have a lot of transactions, it's easier to use some of the APIs that are available on exchanges. And so if you do put that in, you're going to have some wallet addresses that are going to be in there too. So Bitcoin.tax is a U.S.-based company. Cointracking.info is actually out of Germany. They have their user agreements that say that they're keeping your information as private as possible. So, but yes, that is another area that you're putting information into that's aggregating all of it.
Peter, this is Sabine. I just wanted to ask a quick question to make sure I'm clear. So if I go on to Coinbase with cash and I buy Bitcoin and then I transfer that to Bittrex or wherever, and I buy an alt currency, that's not a taxable event, is it?
It is a taxable event for the first currency that you. So if you go on to Coinbase and you buy some Bitcoin, and say you buy it at $1,000. And then you hang on to that for a while, and its value is actually up to $2,000, and you transfer it over to Bittrex, and you buy an altcoin with it. At the time you buy that altcoin, that's a taxable event for that Bitcoin, that you've got a $1,000 gain that's reportable, and that gain is going to be based on the time you bought it and then the time that swap for the other coin happened. So it's going to be short-term if it's under a year, and if you hold it for a year and a day, the longer, then it's going to be a long-term gain.
Let me just have to take a second to ask Sabine, and I'll be asking you in a second, Peter, but I'm pretty sure you already have looked at it. Have you looked at the tax reports on Coinbase, Sabine?
Yeah, they're a mess. They're a mess when I looked at them anyway.
Well, at least they're something.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
And how have you found them in your use, Peter? I mean, I can see, knowing my own personal history, I can see a couple places like where maybe I gave it to my family member or something like that, and it's adding it into it as a capital gain or loss, and I'm not quite sure how to recognize that. But just in general, how have you found the Coinbase reports for people that maybe are only there and are just going to do their taxes from that?
Even if it's just Coinbase activity, I'm bringing that into these other tools just because they have better reporting capabilities. And you can go through and you can make modifications to what the exchange is saying that the transaction is compared to what you know it is. Like you're saying, if you gave it to a family member, it's actually a gift and it wasn't something that should be taxed.
Are you always?
I just have to quickly say you're listening to WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. Okay.
Are you always going back to fiat? So let's say use that transaction. I started with fiat cash. I went to Bitcoin. I bought an altcoin, and then I sold some of that altcoin at some point.
For a different altcoin?
I went to two scenarios. One is going back to cash, and it'd be Bitcoin and then cash, and then the other one would be for another altcoin. How are you always going back to fiat? What are you doing?
It's not so much you're going back to fiat, but every time there's a transaction, the IRS requires U.S. citizens to report their holdings in U.S. dollars. So, yes, every time you go from one altcoin to another altcoin, every time that there's an exchange of coins, it's the value in USD based on that coin at that point in time.
Okay.
That we have to file along with the tax return, or does this just go in a line item on your 1040?
For any kind of currency trading, it's going to be the Schedule D that you're going to be putting your trades in. which is the same place that you would put in your stock trades.
Well,
so
okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you again. So, like, when I go to my Merrill Lynch account and I get the form at the end of the year, I don't attach that to my my tax return when it's transmitted. Is that because it's just already with them from Merrill Lynch?
Yes, exactly. That's because for retail stock accounts, the brokerage accounts, it's already regulated. All those transactions all get reported by Merrill Lynch off to the IRS with your 1099, and since they already have all of that, all you've got to do is make sure that you've got that listed on your return. Cryptocurrency being as young as it still is, none of that information is being reported. And so since none of it's reported, it's the
so just sticking with Coinbase, let's say it's that simple, I can't just take those numbers off the Coinbase forms and plug those in. I have to submit the Coinbase form also? Or I have to transfer all those numbers into a Schedule B?
You're transferring them all into a Schedule B. If you have a form that has every individual transaction and they're all correct, depending on the software that you're using, like for me and other tax preparers, we've got professional versions of software where if there's a PDF that lists all of the transactions with the dates and the dates and the amounts and the values, we can go ahead and attach those onto the return. Put a single line item on the Schedule D and attach that PDF and submit it.
If it's on an Excel spreadsheet, would it work for you?
With the IRS, at least with the software that I'm using, it's an Intuit product. It's a PDF that they have you. So if I have an Excel spreadsheet, that's fine. Somebody has it all in Excel, they can give me that Excel file. I can convert that into a PDF file. That's going to be able to be.
It's just question. It's a question of tracking, and it's not even that easy because so if I bought Bitcoin 5 different times over the year, I'm buying at different prices, and I might end up doing first in, first out, and yeah, but you know, so then
our hearts are sinking in here, Peter.
I don't mean to scare anybody. It's just that it again because of the immaturity of the marketplace. And because of the requirements for reporting, it just sort of it's fallen into this gray area right now. I'm sure as Coinbase, I would expect Coinbase is probably going to take. I don't know. I don't have any contacts there, but I would expect from the direction that I've seen them taking, they're going to try to get some of this 1099 reporting in place as quickly as possible, because it's going to give them a competitive advantage.
And you see
some of the other exchanges out there.
You see how complicated that is, though, right? You've got different different levels and different amounts and different quantities, and some people are doing first in, first out, and other people are doing last in, and some people are doing both because they're trying to capitalize. It's just
when you've got to be careful when you start talking about how you're going to use your cost basis. Again, with consistency.
I'm always first in, first out, and that's it.
Yeah. If somebody picks LIFO for last year because prices are rising, and then they want to switch to FIFO this year because the prices were slow in the beginning of the year.
It's still hard because you have to track the amount.
Recommended.
Yeah, you're trying to track the amount. So I bought $500 of Bitcoin, and now I've used up that $500 in these three transactions, or I've only got three of this transaction left over, and the next Bitcoin amount that I bought was at this level. It gets to be a nightmare pretty fast.
We can't just tell the IRS it's really, really hard, and I think it's this amount.
I'm doing my best.
You'll sign one of those, won't you, for us?
Right.
We're talking with Peter Temko, CPA, MBA, Temko Financial Consulting. Website is temkofinancial.com. And I'm going to tell you very slowly, I'm going to give you the phone number, because I think even if you haven't gotten to the website, which is temkofinancial.com, you might want to be sure to call if you're not going to contact them through the website. So it's the Tampa Exchange, 813-906-0330. So that's 813-906-0330. Temko spelled T-E-M-K-O. We're going to have more with Peter right after the other side of this break. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
you're a business owner, you need to start listing right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to bytefederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to bytefederal.com.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night. Friday, all-you-can-eat fish. And don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
This segment of the Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Mocha Joe's, 3633 Cortez Road West, Bradenton.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
It's the Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And again, quick reminder, blockchain meetup at Connect Bradenton Wednesday afternoon, 5:30 at Connect Bradenton. That's April 18th, 5:30. It's a Wednesday. Guest is Greg Karch, a blockchain attorney. We'll tell you more about that probably again at the end of the show. On the line with us is Peter Temko, CPA, MBA of Temko Financial Consulting. Website, temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O, financial.com. The phone number for the office there, 813-906-0330, 813-906-0330. If after listening to the last conversation before the break, you're like, what are those tools that he was telling us about? We'll ask him again the names of those tools in just a second, but you can always go to the podcast. The main one is on Podomatic.com, but they're all over the place, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and what have you. You can get it there. Peter, thank you for sticking with us over the break. What are those tools again, please?
So I also have those listed on my website in case they don't catch it right now. But it's ones that I've been using have been Bitcoin.tax, CoinTracking.info, and CoinTracker.io. The main ones that I've been using.
Okay. So we pretty much know we have some hours in front of us accumulating these and getting them ready. The next thing that comes to mind is many of the exchanges are overseas, and there's the FBAR law. Tell us what that is and tell us when it would apply to people that have cryptocurrency on those exchanges.
Sure. So FBAR is a foreign reporting of accounts that you have. And that was something that was created with FinCEN, and they handled it completely up until about 2003, and then they turned enforcement of that over to the IRS. But it basically states that if you have $10,000 or more of assets overseas in an account, then you need to report that into them, and it has to do with
$10,000 any time in the year, like just momentarily it went above $10,000 and then the price dropped back down and you're underneath?
Yeah, it's any time. With the SBAR, it's any time it exceeded $10,000 during the calendar year. Now, and just to be clear on the SBAR, there's no written materials that have been issued that say specifically that cryptocurrency has to be included on these reports, on this reporting that you have to file. But I tend to land, which shouldn't be too surprising, I guess I tend to be land on the conservative side of things and say, because you just have to have account information, which isn't necessarily your account, your wallet addresses, your account information and what the total amount is in that account with some identifying information of where that account's held. I recommend people go ahead and report for the crypto because from the research I've done, it looks like that falls into the types of items that need to be reported.
Is that also because of the severity of the penalties if you don't report?
Yeah.
There
are some pretty stiff penalties. So if...
Are you still there, Peter?
Sorry. Yep, still here. So, the penalties can be... I think it was out right here. With the SBAR, it could be as much as a $10,000 fine for not reporting those.
Now, is that for deliberate or just accidental?
Well, there's different penalties. I don't have them here in front of me. I apologize.
Okay.
But
yeah, my recollection is that an inadvertent omission can still be a $10,000 penalty, and a deliberate one is like $100,000.
And then there's late filing penalties that you can have if you didn't file it on time because those are due by April 15th. For the previous year, they're due by April 15th of that following year as well, too.
Okay. So if you're on Coinbase, Kraken, I believe, is U.S., Gemini is U.S.,
yeah.
Bittrex is U.S.
Gemini, Bittrex, yep.
You don't have to worry about that. But if you're on any of these other ones like Binance, so many people are on that, if they ever were over $10,000, they need to call you.
They need to consider looking at that reporting that needs to be done as well too. And unfortunately, with a lot of the desktop types or online types of self preparation tax products that are out there, they're not necessarily going to be asking those kinds of questions. Or they may ask the question of if you had holdings overseas, and people think, well, I didn't have a checking account or a stock account. They don't really think about the crypto side of it. And like I said, it's not something that's 100% identified by the IRS at this point in time, but it does fall into the same type of category as stocks or the way that IRS has defined cryptocurrencies.
Now, we had another CPA. I won't name him right now, but he's back in the archives. He was saying that you only have to worry about that on foreign exchanges when you can extract fiat currency from them, like if it's similar to how Coinbase is in the U.S. Like if you have to put Bitcoin in and you can only take Bitcoin out, there may be taxable events if you did transactions. But he said you didn't have to list that as an overseas account. But you disagree with that opinion. Is that correct?
From what I've seen with my research, I would say that if it's the value that they're looking at what you're holding overseas. Because same sort of example like with stocks, if you could have stocks that are held in an account that's over in a foreign country, and you don't necessarily have to cash out of that there, you can have that transferred back to the United States as well too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think it's for anybody that's concerned about that
type of issue coming up. Let me go ahead and move on because I'm looking at the clock,
yep.
And I want to get to a couple things here before we have to say goodbye. And we are speaking with Peter Temko Financial. And the website is temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O. And the phone number is 813-960-0330, I believe. Did that from memory, but I said it enough times. It looks like I'm right. I've had another opinion, not necessarily from anybody with a CPA behind their name, but frequent traders, day traders, isn't there an exemption for them where they just take their starting capital and then what their finishing capital is, and they're taxed on that?
Yes, there is.
Nope.
But you have to make sure that you qualify as an actual day trader. The IRS has very specific circumstances that identify someone as a day trader. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you trade a lot, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you trade with large sums of money. It's the nature of your trading. I mean, if you think of a typical day trader that has a couple computer screens set up in front of them, and they're trying to use arbitrage to make their money. They're trying to find the spots where something's selling high and something's somewhere else lower, and they can grab it for the lower price, get it out at the higher price. That's the characteristic that they're really looking for to be able to qualify for a day trader, where, yes, you would just say, here's my beginning balances, here's my end-of-the-year balances, everything in between, you know, all those gains and losses that net out is the income I have for the year. And you also have to do that if you're day trading. That's on your holdings. So it's not necessarily that you sold out. You sold anything at the end of the year.
Now, couldn't that be applied to cryptocurrency then?
Sure. Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Okay. So I guess that's something you should talk with a licensed professional about to see if you're one of those people that
qualify. Definitely. If you fall under those characteristics, okay. Yeah.
One last topic I want to get to here. Some people are minors. And a couple of different situations. They might be doing the mining themselves. They might be part of one of those online pools of miners, or maybe they are like a passive investor for a company that creates and holds the system or masternodes for you. What do they have to think about?
So what they need to be thinking about is when they've taken possession of those coins, that is actually income to them. So they want to be tracking when they get the coins, the same sort of thing as I was mentioning before, is the date and time stamp of the coins that now have come into your possession through the mining activities, or like with masternodes, when you've got coins that come out of that activity, and that's income to you. So you need to report that on your tax return and your other income section.
Okay. We've been speaking with Peter Temko. He's CPA and MBA. The company is Temko Financial Consulting. The website is temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O, financial.com, and you can call them at 813-906-0330, 813-906-0330. I think this is actually one of the podcasts, Sabine, that people need to go back and listen to again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an important it's an important thing to listen to before. I guess it's April 17th this year, isn't it, Peter?
Yes, yeah, April 17th. If there's one quick thing I could say, too, just to sort of...
Sure, whatever you want to leave the audience with, go ahead.
Conversation.
Yeah.
So what I always tell people is, if you're paying taxes, that's because you've been making some money. You don't want to pay any more taxes than you have to. I think, you know, everybody understands they got to pay them. It's just part of being a U.S. citizen. But don't pay any more than you have to. And one way to make sure you're not paying more than you have to is to educate yourself on what the tax consequences are, what you can expect. And unfortunately, in a way, 2017, 2018 has been a great example of how, if you want to be conservative with your tax plan, with all the trading that people might have been doing back in December of 2017, if you had, I know you can't go back and fix it now, but if you had reserved some of that money, instead of throwing everything into another old currency, if you had cashed out on some of that and parked that to make sure you covered your taxes, then here we are in the end of March 2018, and values have significantly dropped on quite a few coins. Then you're not panicking, going, oh, my God, I've got to liquidate all my holdings just to cover the taxes. So if people educate themselves, they get a good plan in place, you can avoid the tax paralysis that comes where you're like, oh, my God, I can't file taxes. I can't afford it, but I got to file them because I don't want to get in trouble.
There's a lot of people in that boat, unfortunately. Yeah. Peter, what do you think about airdrops and forks?
So my opinion on forks, especially if you're grabbing the forked coin right away, if it doesn't really have a market when it forks, then you're looking at a zero cost basis on the fork. Airdrops, typically, I mean, same thing there. If it's an airdrop before the coin's really active or released, you'd have a zero cost. But if you got NEO and you're getting gas drops that are in your wallet, whatever that gas value is on the drop, that's income. And then that value becomes your cost basis for whenever you decide to sell.
So you don't, you don't have to do anything with it until or unless you sell it. Or are you saying that you have
a value when you got it?
If it didn't have a value when you got it. If it does have a value when you get it, then it's that value that you report as income as well. So that's an extra step. That's what I'm saying. For somebody that's got pretty simple trading and coins that just have, it's just the coins, it's pretty simple to get your stuff together. If you've got more complicated situations, it's going to take you some time, really. If you are planning on reporting the taxes for crypto, you want to try to start doing that as soon as you can.
Peter, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Henry Rain Show. I hope in the future you'll be a resource for the show.
Sure. Right. I'll help out as much as I can.
All right. And get some rest after April 17th.
We'll try to get a little bit, yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
All right. We have to collect ourselves here in the studio. Researching and Googling offshore islands that don't charge Americans tax. Kidding. We'll be back right after this break.
A new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage. Quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Masternode March Madness. That's our theme here at J Squared Invest in sunny downtown St. Petersburg. If you have ever considered adding truly passive income to your life, but never knew how to do it, now is your time. From now through March 15th, J Squared Invest will be waiving the $750 setup fee for your first masternode. Now is your time to go to jsquared.io or email us at support@jsquared.io and learn what we can do for you. J Squared Invest, connecting through crypto.
We're in the money.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
I'm on the surface of the destroyed barbarian planet now, Captain.
Destroyed? What do you see, Mr. Spock?
The surviving inhabitants are in a dreadful condition. It seems they can't control their limbs, and their minds are dull and useless. Fascinating. They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century Earth disease called hard drug abuse. I suspect it has destroyed all meaningful life on this wretched planet.
A tragic find, Mr. Spock.
As a Vulcan, I find the need for hard drugs to be totally illogical.
But as a half-human, Spock, surely you can appreciate the suffering that hard drug abuse causes. We can only hope that other civilizations will not make the same mistake.
She's been living in a Bitcoin world. I see never had a Wall Street guy. She gets a better old return.
Henry Raine Show here, WWPR, 1490 AM. Sabine Priestley in the studio, sabinepriestley.com. Be sure and check that website out because there's things there that you need to read after you pay for them. And
thanks for that stipulation.
Yeah. April 18th, Friday, April 18th, Wednesday, 5:30, the first Bradenton Blockchain Business Development Meetup. Greg Karch, attorney there, Connect Bradenton, corner of 12th Street West and State Road 64 East, catty corner to the courthouse. Looking forward to that. And I really thank Peter for coming on, Peter Temko, CPA, Temko Financial. But I feel like somebody called in and told me my puppy ran away.
Got run over.
Well, I don't want to think like that. But yeah, I was saying to Sabine that there's people out there that did trades into 2017, made money all the way up, then maybe converted to Bitcoin at the end of the year, and now the value of their portfolio is lower.
Yeah.
And they're going to have tax consequences.
There's a lot of people hurting out there.
I
was like Peter said, they're going to have to try and liquidate everything just to cover their taxes, and a lot of people aren't going to have
enough. It depends on how much. That's another question I forgot to ask him. But, you know, short-term gain tax rate versus long-term gain tax rate. But pretty much everybody that got in 2017 and sold.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, up till around 50,000 income, your marginal tax rate's around 22%, I think. Maybe you have to.
I thought it was 37.
No, I think that's at a higher level. We'll find out real fast here. Go ahead and just give me your thoughts here real quickly, Sabine, and I'm going to Google this real fast.
What am I giving you thoughts on? taxes?
No, just any stream of consciousness squirrel thoughts. So,
I'm really looking forward to getting a Mars colony going, and I'm really glad that Elon Musk is out there doing what he's doing and the other people like Blue Origin.
Okay, I've got him here.
Okay.
So you don't hit the 28% tax rate until you make $91,000.
Short-term income?
You get taxed at whatever your marginal tax rate is. So if you're making $15,000 and you make another $15,000 capital gain, you're going to be taxed at the $30,000 tax rate. But then you get your standard deduction, et cetera, like that.
Right.
So if you make $10,000 or something, you need to pay about 20%, something like that. But if you, like some people have told us on the air, or made six figures, I hope you got about a third of it sitting around somewhere. I'm sure everybody was real prudent with their money this year.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you have coming up for Easter? Other than it's tomorrow.
Nothing, really. A whole lot of not. I'm going to hang out with my peeps and chill.
Okay. Well, I'm back.
And I don't mean those candy peeps, because those
are
just disgusting.
Annual, my wife and I aren't together anymore, but we are together on holidays and other Marvel movies. So
we do that too.
We have the family tradition of the annual Easter egg hunt that my 22-year-old and my 27-year-old daughter still compete in, just like when they were 5 and 10 or 3 and
Guys would never do that. They're 17 and 19. We used to do a treasure hunt with baskets, and they had to follow the clues all over the
place. It is a contact Easter egg hunt. People wind up on the ground.
Oh, that's funny. Funny
elbows.
Until somebody gets hurt. Right?
Well, but the big change this year is my future son-in-law, my son-in-law-to-be in 1 week, Robert Swinney, it's his first contact Easter egg hunt, and he's got to compete with the two women.
Does he realize how vicious it can be?
He's been told. He's been told. Maybe I'll have pictures.
Oh, please, yes.
I'm still on Facebook, yes. So you can stalk my Facebook page looking for them. But, yeah, I mean, if he's smart, he'll, you know, like in my old pro wrestling days, just work the match. Just make it look good. Just don't get anybody yelling boring from the crowd when you're out there, and you'll be fine. So that's on the agenda. And then I'll be cooking most of the dinner for change. And then my daughter and I have another of our ballroom dance lessons after dinner, because we've done ballroom together, so that wasn't that unusual. But she has put together a medley of, we got about a minute of Foxtrot with Frank Sinatra, and then it breaks into salsa and all these other things.
How are you going to do it at the wedding?
She wants to go viral with this.
Nice.
Nothing like on Dancing with the Stars, but I taught ballroom dancing for a few years back in junior college.
Not of many talents.
Well, that's debatable, but I did take a paycheck for dancing. One of the things that, lessons of that, first of all, it was, I'm digressing over the time, but I have to lift myself up back on my bootstraps. You can't ever lift yourself up from your bootstraps. That's a silly
thing. Bad metaphor.
Yeah, she would just strain your back. But ballroom dancing helped me in a number of ways. One, it was the only time in my life I had women coming up to me in discos and asking me to dance. But that, I was off the market shortly after that anyway. It helped with pro wrestling. When I was learning pro wrestling, pro wrestling is a lot like ballroom dancing, only the contact's a lot harder, and it's like the lead changes back and forth. People think, now if you watch a WWE television show, they have that time down to the second. That's dollars per second. That's thousands of dollars per second there. So they want everything to hit right on time. It's a public traded company. They're looking at the stock price, all those things. But the traditional way of pro wrestling, a lot of times the guys had never even met before when they'd get in the ring. So the idea of choreographing was just out the window.
Yeah.
So you had to, basically, if you were holding on to the other person, you should be able to go through a match. And usually it would be the, I'm not giving anything away now, any top sabers was pretty much, I think that ship sailed about pro wrestling. But the promoter or who the referee would just tell you in the locker room what the last move was. And so the two individuals would have to put together a competitive match listening to the sound of the crowd and going back and forth like that. So, but anyway, to know the moves, to learn the moves, you had to have your feet in the right place and you had to have that sense of taking a lead and following it. So that helped me in that. The other thing that really helped me, though, was in talk radio, because there was this, I had a number of managers in the studio. They sort of churned through them. But there was this old guy, younger than me now probably, when he was there. He had a toupee and stuff. And when I first went into that ballroom place back in 1976, maybe, it was right before Saturday Night Live, so I hit it.
Right on time.
Yeah, that was a great timing for that. But anyway, it was like stepping into a time warp. The teacher who was attractive, the female teacher, had like this beehive hairdo, and the manager, not the one I'm talking about, had this comb over and the white patent leather shoes and the old Sarasota suits. And then I found out later they were swingers.
You'd be surprised at how many of those are around. There are a lot of them.
No, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway, let's get to the point because we're over time. And so I'm standing there with this other new teacher, newer than me even, and he was like, they were giving him this student who had been taking lessons. Back then, it's a little bit different now, but back then it was pretty much just widows, and, you know, they've been taking for 10, 15, 20 years, and he was like, I don't know anything. You're giving me this person. He goes, and this has stayed with me the rest of my life. He looked at him and he said, just say it with authority, and they'll believe you.
There you go. There you go.
They don't know what you don't know.
And you're not going to tell them.
And so that has been my fallback position for talk radio for the last 15 years. So, Sabine, well, thank you for coming in. I mean,
it's always made
the show. And we will be back next week with a pre-recorded show. But then 2 days before you face your tax day dilemmas, is that? No. Yeah, it'll be the 15th. No, it'll be the 14th, 3 days before that.
It's the 17th, right? So the 15th.
Well, that'll be 2 days, but the show will be on the 14th.
Okay.
All right. You can diagram that at your home later on, and we will be back in one form or another in 2 weeks. I'm just going to play this song and get out of here.
Have a good weekend. Have a good Easter, everybody.